now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix. Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. My guest and friend, Judith Kwoba, really needs no introduction. It's high time we get her back on the show to brief us on what's been going on from her perspective, especially from a European perspective. So without any further ado, Judith Kwoba, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
No, thank you, James, for having me. I'm really delighted. Yes, before the lights go out here, I'm really happy that you have me back on. And maybe I can bring some aspects to the table that are not widely known. And to give a good overview of what's going on here in Europe and particularly Germany.
Please, by all means, Judith, the floor is yours. Our viewers and listeners need to know this. Thank you.
Okay, so I would like to start with the fact that Germany is still an occupied country. We have never been a sovereign nation after the Second World War. That means a lot of what is happening in Germany is being decided in Washington. Okay, so just keep that in mind while we go through the different aspects, because a lot of things actually do not make any sense to anybody. Yeah, unless you are in the government, then it makes sense. So, as everybody knows, we have the conflict in Ukraine, and along with it came the sanctions that the European Union, I don't know, I think they have now six packages of sanctions. And it's no secret that it is affecting us more than it does Russia. So then there was... In the very beginning, our government said, no problem. At the end of 2022, we will be off Russian oil, we will be off Russian gas, no problem, no problem. Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, big problem. So the thing is, once there is not enough gas in the pipelines, what is happening at home, those people who get I have everything here on electricity, and the central heating is oil heating. Yeah. But that doesn't mean I'm out of the woods, because if the electricity is really going down, then of course the oil heater doesn't help anyway, because also that machine needs power. So now we have this idea to the European Union came along with the idea that every country has to save 15% of gas, which is not possible. Yeah. Honestly, and here he is not a minister, he is the guy who will decide. Let's say we are at level two now. Level three would mean of a gas shortage. Level three would mean that he decides who is getting gas and who not. Yeah. So in the beginning, they thought it would be a good idea to protect the citizens. But then the industry said, guys, you know, if we don't have any power, then what do you think will happen? And yes, that would probably add 5 to 6 million people out of jobs. Plus, there is another problem. You know, in industries like, let's say, the chemical industry, gas, steel production, and so on and so forth, if out of the blue there is no power, you can forget about that factory. Because if they are in the middle of the process of melting something or whatever, and then it is getting cold, you can throw it away. There is no way you can, you know, get it up again and it is running. It's useless. So many parts of that in the industry, will be going down. So now, with the private citizens, if you are getting gas, I'm sorry when I laugh. It's not really funny, but I have to have this gallows humor. Otherwise, I'm going nuts here. Yeah. So what will happen if the pressure is not enough? It means there is still gas, but the pressure in the pipeline is not enough. Then what happens at home is that all these gas thermi, they switch off automatically. But there is a slight problem. Even if you have gas afterwards, or after a while, you need to have a specialist that switches it on again. It is not done with pressing a button. No, no. So, and now last weekend, our government got briefed. Now they understand what type of a problem it is if millions of households, are without their gas thermi. It gave up because the pressure was not enough. So, yeah, and then they were informed that we do not have enough specialists for that, especially not going into millions of households and prepping them up again. So, yeah, now it finally dawns on them. And what they are going to do, I don't know. I'm amazed that they didn't know that, because I knew it before they started talking about it, that will be a problem in that scenario. But I don't know. Our government is so, yeah, I would say useless. Yeah, making more problems than we already have. So now what many people did, they bought electric heaters. Meaning if there is not coming enough gas, yeah, then they think to heat their houses with electricity. But if there's not enough gas, then the electricity is stressed anyhow. Yeah, because we also use gas to produce electricity. So if that is down, yeah. And now imagine 1 million electric heaters go online in that situation. Yeah, you can imagine what will happen. You have already a electricity grid that is stressed to the max, and then you have all the central heaters, the electric heaters. Yeah. So, yes, there is a solution. They could switch on Nord Stream 2. Right now, we are getting gas via Nord Stream 1. And Nord Stream 2 is ready. But already under the Obama administration, the Americans were not fond of Nord Stream 2. So, and our so-called energy minister was asked in an interview, so is that a possibility? Can you switch on? Because, you know, it's the same gas. There is no gas that is any different than the one that is coming via Nord Stream 1. And the answer was, no, the United States have sanctions on it. And they do not want us to switch it on. In other words, our government doesn't have the spine to tell a demented Joe Biden, park it, Joe, we will not let our people freeze to death. Yeah, so that is what is going on here. But as I said, keep that in mind. We are an occupied country. Then many people are not aware of that. So do you have any questions so far?
Well, just a quick comment. The blowback, if you will, the actions Putin took in response to the sanctions was entirely predictable. I mean, you and I knew this was going to happen. So
yeah.
It's to me, it's implausible to suggest that these German ministers and bureaucrats and politicians did not see that as a likely possibility. You're right. They were following orders, and like all good commie Luciferians, they went along with it because ultimately chaos and, you know, dematerialization and destruction is their thing, right? Even if they go down in a hail of missiles or whatever from Russia, it's just they're just a bunch of nihilists. And also about the electrical grids being stressed out, we have all these people like virtue signaling the fact that they're electric car owners in America, right? And now the grid is so stressed out in large parts of America that they're publicly saying, don't charge up your electric cars because you're gonna, you know, stress out the system even more. So the whole thing is truly, truly bizarre. Please continue.
Yeah. So there are already tangible fallout from that. So there is one big company here in Germany who has a lot of apartment buildings. Yeah. And those buildings are supplied with gas. So already this last month, they informed all their tenants that the shower will only be warm in during certain times of the day. So meaning from 6 to 8, you can take a warm shower. And then during the day, hot water will be there for 2 hours. And then in the evening, there will be no hot water after 2100. So meaning you come back home from your late shift. Let's say your shift ended at 2200. You come home, you can enjoy a cold shower. Yeah, so we are already there. Another thing, the other day, I overheard somebody in the street. He was on his phone, and I heard he said, oh my goodness, you are the 8th pharmacy that is telling me you have no paracetamol. So ibuprofen, paracetamol, no longer available. And that is not the only thing that is not available. What is paracetamol? They have a type of juice for children when they have fever. You can't get that anywhere. So yesterday I went to their official webpage from the health ministry. And there's a long list of things that are missing. And then I was interested in the reasons why. Some medicines, it just said, supply line problems. But in most cases, it just said other, whatever that means. Yeah, so I still don't know the reason why certain medicines are missing. So, I started going out here into the woods, and I'm collecting bark of willow tree, which is good against fever and other things. And there are other barks of trees that are good against parasitic infestation and things like that. You just have to look into it. But yeah, we have a pharmacy out there if you know what you're looking for, and if you know what to do and how to collect it. Yeah, so that these are the ramifications. And now we have a senior citizen, how do you call that? It's not a hospital, it's where elderly people...
Or like a nursing facility.
A nursing facility, yeah. Not hospital.
Okay.
Yeah. And the first one now announced this morning that they will take away any and all electronic gadgets from their inhabitants. Yeah. If you have a small egg cooker, yeah, or a water cooker or anything, they will take that away from you so that you can work your signal and save energy.
Okay, yeah, just to clarify, I understand what you're talking about now. You're talking about those nursing facilities set up where the elderly, they live in their own residences, but they're under the care of a nursing institution. Mm-hmm. And we've seen also at the alleged outbreak of all this COVID madness, how they just systematically wiped out the elderly in the nursing homes, et cetera, et cetera. They protocoled them to death and brought in all the, the sedatives and everything else. Now you're saying that in these nursing homes, they're starting to deny them even electronic gadgets.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So that is where we are. Yeah. And so then another thing that is being discussed is that the schools might shut down again in winter if there is not enough gas to heat them. And that, like town halls and blah, 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 you know, all these official places. Yeah, they have to observe that all their rooms are not over 19 degrees and what have you. So, and on top of it, we do not have enough gas. We already have a stressed electricity grid, but the Green Party wants to shut down the last three nuclear power plants. Gosh. Yeah, so now Bavaria is very outraged, Mr. Söder, whom I do not like very much, I have to say. But now he's very nervous. And there is a rumor going around that it is planned. It is planned that there will be a blackout in Germany. And that the zip code numbers that start with 6, 7, or 8 will be the first to go down. And 8 is Bavaria. And so he is against it, that they shut it down. Many people are totally against it because up to now it is delivering, a stable electricity supply for 15 million people. But even in this current situation, the Green Party is crazy enough to... demand that they will be shut down anyhow. And and then they came up with it is very hard to get the supplies. I mean, it's technically it's not possible to let them run and blah blah blah. And then all the experts came out and said, sorry guys, that is not correct. We can. And we have the means to do it. So please, if you say you want to shut it off, yeah, well, but let us tell you that it is possible. Yeah, but you know, the Greens rose during that time in the 70s. You know, nuclear power, no thanks. That is their basis. And of course, they do not want to disappoint their basis, yeah, because they ran for many, many years against nuclear power. So better to disappoint the rest of the population, but not, not their own basis. And imagine this party, yes, they are in the governing coalition, but they only got 15%. And if you count in those people who did not vote, which is, by the way, the biggest group in Germany already, the non-voters, yeah, then it is even worse. Yeah, then they would they are probably tinkering around 5% or something. So this group of little kids, yeah, that cannot think for 2 minutes. Yeah, they seem to be hellbound to put us into, yeah, ruin. And here comes another thing. You are familiar with the old Morgenthau plan, yeah? Yeah. So Henry Morgenthau was, I guess he was a congressman, or was he a senator?
Unfortunately, he was a treasury secretary. His chief assistant, Harry Dexter White, was a Soviet spy, and who was actually the one Moscow Center sent the basic outline of what became the Morgenthau plan to Harry Dexter White. He gave it whole to Henry Morgenthau, mm-hmm. and Morgenthau put it out. They wanted, well, go ahead, but they wanted to destroy Germany.
Mm. Yeah. So in 1944, he came up with the brilliant idea to turn Germany into an agricultural state. Mm-hmm. And it appears, because a lot of people picked it up here in Germany, and they said, it appears that the Morgenthau plan will be implemented a little bit later than expected. But yeah, we can see that there is a push to deindustrialize this country and turn it into a potato farm or something. So yeah, there is many people are talking about it right now and thinking about it, if that is the real agenda that is going on. There's also this Operation Sunrise that goes back to the to the end of the Second World War and total surrender of Germany, and that all of this is working together, and they are just using the stupid Greens to implement that, what nobody wants. I mean, the typical voter of the Greens, you know, they have 2 to 3 cars and they drive with their SUV to the organic supermarket. Yeah, and they think they are so wonderful and they are doing the best that they can do. And then there is this trouble with Russia, and politicians are saying, yeah, Russia is only playing games with us, and they could, they reduced it again, the gas flow, because there is a turbine missing. So this mythological turbine, this is so unbelievable. Okay, it was in Canada for inspection. Everybody knows that all those things have to be inspected from time to time. Yeah, you cannot just let it run and expect to run it forever. Okay, so it was in Canada. Then Canada said, no, we are not giving back the turbine. We sanctioned Russia. And then our government said, yeah, well, we understand that there are sanctions, but you know, we are really in trouble here. If there is no gas coming, as you know, we cannot switch on Nord Stream 2. And this turbine is needed so that the gas flow can increase. Okay. So then they came up with the idea, you know what? To circumvent the sanctions, Canada, send it to us, to Germany, and we will send it to Russia. My goodness. So now, where's the turbine? Yeah, I can tell you, it's in Germany. It's in Mülheim, our wonderful chancellor. He visited the turbine. He had a photo shoot in front of the turbine, meditating at the turbine.
It was like a pilgrimage.
Yeah. So, and Russia is saying, you are the ones who implemented the sanctions. If you send back this turbine, we require legal documents that it is okay for us to take it back and to use it in Nord Stream. You are the one who implemented it, not us. So in this case, your good words are not enough for us. We need legal documents. And that, of course, is a little play on what happened with Nord Stream 2. So Nord Stream 2 is finished. It is there. The only thing would be to open the well. And as I said, the Americans were never fond of the idea of Nord Stream 2. And then when it was finished, then the stupid game started. Yeah, well, why did you not open it? Ah, yeah, you know, there is one paper missing. We just need this one paper. Yeah, okay, then the paper was there. Yeah, now we found out, Russia, that actually there is one signature missing on one of the other papers, and back and forth and back and for years. And now Russia is doing the same. And it's saying, you know what, we need the legal documents. Yeah, so it's all coming back. All their stupid games, you know, why even build Nord Stream 2 if you do not intend to use it? And why is it so horrible to open that well? It's the same gas that is coming through Nord Stream 1. Wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's more artificial scarcity. Mm-hmm. And then you talked about the medicines, the scarcity of certain pharmaceuticals earlier. That's going to play a huge role going forward, because as the tension between the so-called West and China increases, you know, people forget just how many pharmaceuticals come from China. If China decides to prevent that trade overnight, there's going to be shortages of critical medicine for a lot of people, for diabetics, for heart patients, you name it, suddenly there's going to be a shortage. In the old days, a country, a nation state's war fighting capacity was directly predicated upon its economic strength, how many resources it had, and then into the age of industry, what was its industrial output, its natural resources. Here, this model of global takeover, it's okay, we're going to fight you, Russia, we're going to fight you, China, but we're going to weaken ourselves as much as possible in the process, right? In true communist Luciferian fashion. So it, I mean, you look at what was described as the Null Stunde after World War II, that period after World War II in Germany. Of course, the Soviets and the international banking cartel, let's say, wanted to foist the Morgenthau Plan upon Germany because Germany was their main stumbling block towards total hegemony. And what better way to continue the dissolution and the privations of the German people, punish them, and also to pave the way for the socialism that would then be, you know, spread out throughout all of the EU. And to add context to, for a lot of the listeners out there, the EU, Economic Union, European Union, has a larger population base than the United States. There's more people in Europe, in the EU, than in the United States of America. And then you add in other factors, the unlimited immigration, bringing in lots of people from Africa and from the Muslim countries. If suddenly there are gas shortages, heat, electrical outages, et cetera, we've already seen the kind of tinderbox that large parts of Europe is when you have this large influx of a violent, unassimilatable, if that's a word, you know, migrant class, let's say. Mm-hmm. We've already seen what will happen. And another quick point, which follows on what you said earlier. I think it was France just the other day. They said, you know, or was it Spain, one of those socialist countries, because they're all socialists in the EU now, said, oh, you can't set your thermostat, you know, any lower than a certain level. If you want
72 degrees,
72 degrees, you know, like to them, it's like 72 degrees that if you're really hot, yeah, that's the best, that's the coolest you're going to get is 72 degrees. So, you know, this is all tied in with the greenies, the climate change fanaticism. It's all this Bolshevik kind of collectivization that's playing itself out right now.
Yeah. And I mean, imagine this rhetoric and the hypocrisy. That little stupid girl that is playing our foreign minister, Mrs. Plerbock, I always call her Plerbock, not Baerbock. She is going around publicly saying, we need to destroy Russia, we need to have Russia on its knees. And then they are surprised. Maybe Russia will stop the gas supply completely. Yeah, you know, boys and girls that think they are government, if your rhetoric is in that way, I would not be surprised at all if Russia at one point says, you know what, you want to destroy us, you want to wipe us out, you do no longer want to buy our gas, our oil, our coal anyway. You know what, you can have that. I switch it off, no problem. Yeah, and then just wait. But then they are outraged. So that doesn't fit. You know, you cannot, if you are a customer and you are constantly bad-mouthing your supplier, and yeah, where does that work? You know, in the regular world, if let's say you are selling the best potatoes in the world, and I'm your customer, have been for many, many years, and then I start talking nonsense about you, like, Oh, James has to go down. I would like to destroy him. I want to see, hey, why are you not giving me more potatoes at the same? I mean, it is so insane. And this, but on the other hand, I think this insanity has to come up now so that it is really visible for everybody. I mean, okay, yeah, there will be hardliners. No matter what happens, they will not wake up. They think everything that the Green Party is deciding and doing is so wonderful and so beneficial. Yeah, you will always have that. But I guess for more and more people, it's getting tangible now because the prices in the supermarkets are going up. Up, 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 up. There's only one way up. And a lot of that is not even necessary. For instance, I know a couple of weeks ago, Sweden had German sunflower oil on sale. But here in Germany, sunflower oil came from Romania and they charged 5 euros for one bottle. And in Sweden, the German sunflower oil was for 99 cents. Okay. So there's also a lot of, you know, just making cash going on. There's no real reason why some products are so highly priced. It's a business model right now. Yeah, blame it on Ukraine. So, and another thing that is going on here, that more and more products disappear. In the last couple of months, yeah, I would say like every second or third day you hear, oh, we have to have a recall, this product, this cheese, oh no, this salt, now it's this oil, now it's, we have to recall it, recall. Yeah, and they will never come back. And that is what it is really about. You know, it's just the so-called recall is the excuse for getting rid of a lot of products and choices to choose from. And that is going on as well.
Well, these shortages, they've targeted certain product lines. We went through the baby formula shortage, for example. We went through the toilet paper shortage. And now the cost of basic foodstuffs is going through the roof. I read this article on naturalnews.com about how more Americans are going to dollar stores to get their food, right? So they're paying like, they call them dollar stores, but more like $1.25 stores nowadays. So they're going there and they're buying their frozen pizzas and other processed, you know, non-nourishing type foods, because that's the cheapest option. And then if you look at what another thing that Russia did, along with the Saudis, and this ties in with the spiraling death of the petrodollar, right? Which is, you know, since the early 1970s when they did the, as you know, the petrodollar recycling scheme with the Saudis, that's basically propped up this whole fiat currency system. Well, Russia and China have worked it out with the Saudis, that they're moving away officially from the petrodollar, and they're going to be trading in a basket of currencies, you know, with the ruble and with, you know, the Chinese currency, et cetera, et cetera. That's so the EU is already not getting natural gas and other petroleum products from Russia, one of the biggest suppliers in the world. Next, they're not even going to be able to get anything from the Saudis, because the Saudis, along, you know, in the deal with the Russians, they're only going to be able to accept certain currencies, right? You know, the Russians are saying, okay, you can only buy this stuff from us now in rubles, right? So it's the death of the petrodollar. And the inflation and the cost of living in America has gone through the roof. And it's just astonishing to me just how worthless essentially the American petrodollar is. And then when you look at other currencies pegged to it, right? Other currencies and international currencies that are valued less than a dollar, right? Mm-hmm. It makes people wonder, well, why should they even go to America? You know, if the rate of exchange is going to beat them up in the first place, and then they're going to go and buy products and services. Everything is overpriced. They have this weird tipping thing going on in America where you buy a lousy cup of coffee, they expect you to tip for it, which is very much a collectivist mindset of making the consumers, you know, pay the employees of the corporations. This is another means to do that. So it's just a large scale socialist kind of wave that's just engulfed the whole planet. And what do you see going forward as far as the potential for like civil chaos and societal upheavals in the European Union going forward?
Well, yeah, we had a huge media campaign this weekend, and the German population was informed that anybody who is in fear of poverty, freezing in the winter, and not having enough food and water and what have you, those are all Nazis. They are all right-wing extremists. The media this last weekend, they went out of their way to hammer that home, that only the Nazis are complaining. So in other words, 90% of Germans are now Nazis. So yes, the government itself.
There's no Nazis in the Ukraine though, none.
No. The real Nazi problem is in Germany. And as I said, if I mentioned it last time that our minister, how do you call that in English, for inner affairs? If you try to delegitimize the government and point out that they are incompetent, yeah, you become a case for the constitutional protective services. So yeah, and now the media chimed in and made it clear to the Germans that you only complain if you're a Nazi.
Well, you talk about this Orwellian newspeak. Interesting how they invoke Nazism when they need to. Just like how certain special interest groups invoke certain things, right, of a discriminatory nature, of a persecution nature. Over in Germany, when you look at the hell the German people have been subjected to, World War One, World War Two, and then the aftermath of World War Two with the Soviet Red Army, Red Terror invasion, right? And then to just flood in more and more immigrants, and then now this, that if you were a red-blooded German and you don't want to freeze to death, right, over the winter, if you're worried about that, you're a Nazi. It's like that's just so Luciferian. It's like gaslighting on a cosmic scale.
And because the government has been briefed that they will, I find it so funny, you know, the government has been briefed by, really? You didn't know that people might be upset if they cannot use their toilet, they have no water in their house, the apartment is freezing, you know, they have ice in their house, they have no, you really need to be briefed about that? So now they came up with the idea because they are aware that the migrants will not take it like that. So they came up with the brilliant idea that in case, you know, allegedly we have emergency food stored. Yeah, but Germany has only for 20% of the population has emergency food stored. Yeah, and guess who will be served first? The migrants. Yeah, because it might get violent with them because they are not that, you know.
Yeah, they're not very known for their patience and tolerance. And of course, if you were to give that those resources to the 20% of the population and they happen to be white, well, that's white privilege, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
On top of Nazism.
Yeah, so right now, I mean, it's August. We have summer. And yes, these days, it is hard to imagine that that could happen. There is a way to prevent that. As I said, open Nord Stream 2, end of story. And let the U.S. grovel. I don't care. I don't care if Joe Biden is happy. Yeah, I want that my country can have a regular winter without being, but we will see. We will see. I do expect huge riots because we already have the farmers on the streets in the Netherlands. And there is a total media blackout about it. I know that. But imagine, in order to fulfill the climate goals, Netherlands is willing to shut down 11,000 and something, farmers, facilities, farms, whoever is involved in producing food, 11,200 and something, I don't know. Yeah, they are willing to close that down. Are they nuts? Yes, they are. They are deeply, deeply disturbed. And on top of it, now our so-called health minister, he is yakking about a killer virus in the winter. There is no evidence. Nothing is there. So now we will see if that goes through. But his idea is that, okay, you are only fully vaccinated if you had 4 shots. And if you can prove that, then you can take off your mask in the supermarket.
You know, the irony, too, of always invoking Nazism or neo-Nazism, whenever anyone over there speaks up, you know, for the rights or get tired of the immigrant crime and everything else, right? It's the restrictions, the impositions upon personal freedom there is, I mean, the SS of World War II, and the Gestapo would have said, wow, look what these guys are doing today. They did so much more than we did, right? The means to just, and the kids coming out of the school, I mean, they talked about how the Hitler Jugend, the Hitler Youth, were all brainwashed. But if you look at the youth today, also, there's going to be no resistance from them. Their heads are so filled with rage and communism and Luciferianism, whether they realize it or not, because communism is Luciferianism. There's going to be no pushback from them. The older people who know better have. A lot of them have been killed off and died, and they're going to get really sick over the winter too, right? So there's really not many people, any native Germans left after a while. So I think what happens to Germany is going to be important to what's going to happen throughout the EU.
Yeah, because especially, they always talk about the French grid, the German grid. Yeah, but it's all one. It starts very up in the north and it goes down to North Africa. It's one grid, actually. So there's also a risk of cascade effects. Yeah. So if one country goes down, there is a good chance they will all go down. And then, if things were tight, we usually were able to import from France some electricity. But France, yeah, half of their nuclear plants have been shut down, and now they shut down even more because they do not have enough water to cool it. And Austria is in the same city. So who is giving us some electricity? Austria has the same problem. Switzerland has the same problem. I already saw their idea when it comes to rationing. And in Switzerland, they will do it like this. The plan says you will have electricity for 4 hours, 4 hours not, 4 hours, 4 hours not. Oh, yeah, my goodness. How are you going to work with that? At home, yeah, okay, you can somehow, adjust to it, but for anybody else, yeah, I don't know.
And there's a very specific German historical precedent for that, because with the partition of East and West Germany, East Germany fell under communist rule and communist work methods, let's say, right? Where on a normal day, first of all, the Soviets came along and everything that was nailed to the ground, factories and whole industries, they picked up and carted off to to the Soviet Union and left hardly anything else. And that was in the whole of the Eastern sector, not just East Germany. And then they bring in the communist paradise in East Germany. Work shutdowns, electrical shortages, lack of raw materials, right? And then what happens is when they bring the East and West Germany back together again, you have this big influx of Germans coming over from the East, and a lot of them have no, they don't have the same work ethic value. The Germans have traditionally been, Arbeiten, work, right? So then you get all these East Germans over. They're not used to working 30, 40, 50 hours a week because there wasn't any work for that amount of time. There wasn't enough electricity, right? So what we're seeing is that it's going back to that full-scale communist model of long lines of scarce resources, and they will continue to bring in the immigrants. They will continue to do that because what that will do is that will just the remaining white population, the traditional white European heritage, they want to stamp that out of existence. And what better way to do it now than have a systemic breakdown of the grid, the basic services, and the food, right? Just like, for example, in the UK, cow farmers, beef farmers are being told they'll be paid for every cow they kill, right? So they and now they're making a big deal about like foot and mouth disease, which will be an excuse to in many countries to slaughter thousands of head of cattle in the guise of preventing a hoof and mouth disease, whatever they call it, the bovine multiform mad cow disease, et cetera, et cetera. They'll come up with something. They've already did that in the UK before, where farmers were forced to slaughter thousands and thousands of cows because of mad cow disease back in the day. So just everything is being set up for a mass societal upheaval. in Europe, which will justify, in their twisted way of thinking, even harsher lockdowns and more restrictions on the populace.
Yeah. And I also would like to say, you know, I, just the other day, for my patrons, I wrote a few sentences about this, because we here in the, especially in the alternative media, you have a lot of people that are saying, yeah, Putin is fighting the financial system and he's doing that. And he's, you know, he's being propped up a little bit as the savior again. But if you look what is going on in Russia, it's the same agenda. They already are speeding up the digital ruble. Yeah, so that is going on as well. Moscow has just implemented pay with your face, a biometrical means to pay in buses, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, you have to, your face will be scanned, and then you have to connect it to this and that and that, and then you can pay with your face wherever you go. Yeah, and what was the other thing? Yeah, okay, transhumanism. Just type in, if you're interested, Russia 2045. It's a dream for any transhumanist. So that, and it's highly supported by the Dalai Lama. He loves it. Another very fishy character, I have to say, the Dalai Lama. And yeah, and there you can see all the projects. And yeah, 2045, that is where they say they will have the real first avatar, and we are taking it from there. So I honestly cannot say that I see Putin or Russia as the great liberator, because the same nonsense is going on in there. They are doing it maybe a little bit smarter. They are not, up to now, I have to say, not that hellbound to reduce food supplies for their population. It's, I would say, the other way around. The Westerners are pretty tough on that, already breaking it down. And, you know, getting less and less products into the supermarket. So that is, as far as I can tell, I don't see that in Russia right now. But overall, I would say it's the same agenda.
It's the same planet. And these talking heads in the scientific community, they talk about, I think the term that they use is entropy, where they have this model that says that as things scale up in size, they become more chaotic and disorganized. That's just the opposite of that. Everything with them is an inversion, right? As you scale things up, you have more and more control. You even see this on a galactic scale with stellar and galactic formation. Everything is very, very, you know, there's a structure to it, right? So when you have these political systems of control, the tendency, the trend will always be, especially with the rollout of more and more technology, will always be towards more control on a planetary basis. And so now we've got this mass culling. So many businesses and livelihoods were already destroyed by all the mandates and restrictions the last 2 years, and now this. So anyhow, we're just getting started with our dear friend Judith Kwoba, and you want to say a little bit about your night flight show and where we could find you on some
of these platforms. Find it on YouTube. You can find it on YouTube. You can find it on Odyssey, Night Flight, and if you prefer BitChute, I'm also on BitChute. Where I'm not is Rumble, and yeah, there are reasons for that. But other than that, that is where you can find me.
Mm-hmm. And for our dear listeners and viewers out there, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the members segment.